Proverbs 10:4 tells us, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. I am Rob West. Sometimes we make conscious mistakes with our money. Sometimes they're the result of just not paying attention. Either way, they can be hazardous to your wealth. I'll talk about those missteps first today, then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Now, if you think you've made some poor financial decisions, don't let that opening verse discourage you. But take this opportunity to learn from your mistakes. And here's a verse to encourage you. Proverbs 19:20 reads, "Listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future." Who can't use more wisdom, right? So here are some common money mistakes you can correct, or better yet, avoid them in the first place. The whole idea is to hang on to the money you've worked hard to earn and to get that money working for you. So the first mistake that's hazardous to your wealth is living paycheck to paycheck, or put another way, spending all or most of what you earn. If you do this, you're guaranteed to have nothing left at the end of the month. Sometimes this is called paying yourself first. No matter what, put a little something aside each month where you don't see it and don't spend it. Set up an automatic transfer of some amount of money from your checking account into savings. Then, adjust your spending so that you meet all of your monthly obligations. You'll probably have to cut out some things that you've grown accustomed to. Now, sometimes people will say they just don't make enough to save. Well, that's true for some, but it's a small minority. Almost everyone can cut something from their spending. A worthy goal is to save 10% of your income. If you can do that, you'll very soon start to see your savings grow. Once that happens, all you have to do is leave it alone. Which leads to our next money mistake, not having an emergency fund. But if you've begun to set something aside in savings, that becomes your emergency fund. Keep going until you have at least 3 months' living expenses, but 6 months' worth is definitely better. Which leads us to the next thing that's hazardous to your wealth, and that is paying interest on consumer debt like credit cards. And you get there by not having an emergency fund. So when an unplanned expense pops up, you have to go into debt. You eliminate that mistake by not making mistakes 1 and 2. But if you already have debt, the mistake is paying only the minimum monthly requirement. If you look closely at your monthly statement, you'll probably see a box that tells you how many years it will take to pay off your balance if you pay only the minimum. Don't be surprised if it's 15 years or longer. This is a good opportunity to rethink how much things really cost. Let's say you go out to dinner by yourself and you end up putting $30 on your credit card. If you were to pay that off according to the minimum monthly payment, it would end up costing you $50 or $60. The next decision that's hazardous to your wealth is buying a new car. Now, we have nothing against buying a new car. It's a fact that some people have to buy new cars, or at some point there wouldn't be any cars left on the road. But you should only buy a new car if you've saved up enough to pay cash for it. In fact, the goal should be to always pay cash for a car, whether it's new or used. You can only do that if, after you've paid off a car loan, you keep driving that car but continue to make payments to yourself and to a savings account. You then use that money to buy your next car when you need it. Eventually, by continuing to make payments to yourself after a loan is repaid, you'll have enough to buy the car outright. It may take a few cars to get there, but eventually you'll make it. So buy dependable late model used cars until you can pay cash for a new one. Won't that be a glorious day? The next money mistake that's hazardous to your wealth, especially if you're young, is not setting up a Roth IRA. Once you have your emergency fund in place, start putting money into a Roth.
And you can do this even if you're contributing to a 401k at work. You can contribute up to $7,000 annually to a Roth IRA using after-tax dollars, or $8,000 if you're 50 or older. In retirement, your withdrawals from the Roth account are completely tax-free. Now, the last thing that's hazardous to your wealth is buying too much house. Paying too much for a home can put a strain on your finances, so approach home ownership with wisdom and caution. By keeping your mortgage manageable and saving diligently, you'll set yourself up for greater financial stability and the freedom to honor God with your resources. By the way, if you'd like to read more about ways to manage your money wisely, check out our new quarterly magazine, Faithful Steward. When you become a Faith5 partner, you can receive it directly to your mailbox. Just go to faithfi.com/give. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Life brings hardship. There's no getting around that. There are disappointments, broken relationships, seasons of sorrow. It might seem sometimes like the pain will never end, that joy will never return. But for those who belong to Jesus, God gives a promise that sorrow is not the end. The psalmist writes, "Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy." That's from Psalm 126. And in Christ, sorrow gives way to joy. His death brought grief, but his resurrection brings victory. So even in a season of weeping, God will turn sorrow into joy. Try out Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Hi, I'm Tim Moore, Senior Evangelist on Christ in Prophecy. With all the uncertainty in the world today, it's good to know that God's promises never change. On Christ in Prophecy, we'll examine the signs of the times and consider what's really happening in the world today through the lens of God's prophetic word. To hear more biblical hope for the future, join me for Christ in Prophecy, Sundays at 11 a.m. Central, right here on American Family Radio, and find out what's really going on in the world.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Well, I'm looking forward to taking your calls and questions today. The number to get in on the conversation, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to tackle whatever's going on in your financial life, help you process that in light of biblical wisdom. That's right. More than 2,300 verses on money and possessions in God's Word. Now, most of those are because money is just a great teaching tool. It's very understandable and relatable. We all spend money, and that's true now. That was true in Jesus' time as well. But the core teachings around money in Scripture, those passages largely in the New Testament that we see from the apostles and Jesus, they largely focus on our heart and how money has the potential to rival the Lord for first position in our lives. We want to help you push through that, not see the things of this world as your treasure, but God as your ultimate treasure, and then see money as a good gift from God, a tool to use to accomplish God's purposes. That's our goal each day on this program, and we do that in light of the very specific questions and issues you have in your financial life. So if you're wrestling with something right now, you can call 800 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to tackle your financial questions today. We've got lines open, and we will begin taking those calls here in just a moment. Of course, in the news today, front and center, Trump's tariffs are sparking a global sell-off. That's right. As I speak, the Dow Jones down more than 1,500 points. That's about 3.6% lower. The S&P 500 off nearly 4% as we start the trading day. The NASDAQ getting hit the hardest, down 4.75%. Now, will we see the sell-off continue to accelerate throughout the day? Will it begin to recover? We don't know. But what we do know is that the market here in the U.S. and overnight around the world, the markets have been under a lot of pressure. The good news is some of the uncertainty leading up to yesterday's Liberation Day, as the president called it, is now out in the open. We understand how this is going to affect not only Canada and Mexico that previously had tariffs imposed along with China, but now the rest of the world. The markets and economists are processing that data. Here's the question. What is President Trump's end game? Is it really to bring manufacturing back? If so, we're in this for the long haul. Is it to generate more tax revenues through the tariffs that, you know, some estimates are that we could see as much as $6 trillion come in that we could use to offset some of the impact of the tax cuts that his administration is looking for? If that's the case, that means they're here to stay for a while. If, though, this is a negotiating tactic, although the early indications from the Commerce Secretary are that it's not, but if it's a negotiating tactic to get world leaders to the table to negotiate in the direction of free trade, well, then perhaps we could see these more short-lived, and perhaps we would see the market recover a bit more quickly. We're going to find out over time, but in the meantime, we're still digesting the impact, and there's been a jolt to the stock market, that's for sure. We'll certainly watch this throughout our broadcast today, and Jerry Boyer will stop by tomorrow. We'll get Jerry's take on all of it in our final segment. We'll look forward to that. All right, we're ready to dive into your questions today. If you have them, call right now, 800-525-7000. We're talking anything financial today, 800-525-7000. Let's begin in Texas today. Hi, Cindy. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call today.
Yes, ma'am.
I had a question about my husband has taken a new job, and we have been contributing to an HSA. And my question is, he is wanting to do $1,000 a month in the SHA. We still owe on a home. We are nearing retirement age. And my question is, should we work on paying off the home or continue to put dollars into the HSA?
Yeah. Well, I like both options, and I think you're asking the right question here, which is the priority, just given where you're at in terms of the taxes you're paying, how you want to position yourself for retirement, and given your desire to be debt-free. And obviously, once we can pay that mortgage off in full, we take probably your biggest expense off the table, which is going to be helpful in terms of you all kind of keeping your expenses as modest as possible in that retirement season. Keep in mind the family coverage max contribution for 2025 in an HSA is $8,550. Now, if you're over 55, which you are, you get the ability to do a bit more. And so that gives you an additional $1,000. So just keep that in mind. Don't go over that because there are penalties for that. In terms of your mortgage, how much do you have left before that's paid off in full?
$180,000.
Okay. Yeah. So you're still a good ways off. And what were your income options look like in retirement? What are you counting on?
Well, we both have 401k money and, you know, of course, Social Security.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. And do you believe with the mortgage payment, you'll have enough there where you can draw a reasonable amount from the 401k's 4% or less a year, along with Social Security, you'll have enough to cover your bills?
Well, that's the question.
Yeah.
I would prefer not to do that. I lean towards paying off the house. He leans towards the HSA. But my other question on Medicare is, if we're close to Medicare age, most of our health care expenses will be covered, correct?
That's true. Yep. But not everything. So there is a benefit, to having that HSA that you can pull from for a variety of medically, medical related costs. And you get that triple benefit. You get the tax deduction going in, and then, you'd be able to grow it tax free and then pull it out without any tax, including the growth, so long as you use it for qualified medical expenses. So your Part A is going to be your hospital stays and skilled nursing. And then your B is going to cover doctor visits and outpatient care. And then you're going to have the D, the prescription drug, and then either the Medicare Advantage or some sort of Medigap policy, that covers the difference. But there's still going to be plenty kind of in the middle there that you can use this for that would not be covered. What is the interest rate on that mortgage?
It is 4.2, I think, 4.2 or 4.5, sorry.
Okay,
I can't remember.
Yeah, so relatively low, although a little higher than some people who got it kind of in the trough, that they were sub 3%. So, I like the HSA here. If you were really close to having the mortgage paid off and you could get that knocked out before you hit retirement and bring that, expense out of off the table, that would be one thing. But since you're still a good ways off, I think because you're probably still at the peak of your earning years, reducing that taxable income now and then being able to put that money aside tax-free for medical expenses, which you'll have, and because of the benefits of the HSA, I think that could be more beneficial than that 4% you're paying a year. Remember, there's also more liquidity with the HSA. Those funds are available and earmarked for healthcare, a near certain expense in retirement, whereas the mortgage money is locked up in home equity. And again, if you're not going to be able to get rid of that mortgage payment, I think overall, especially if you're going to invest the money and we're looking long term, 10, 20 years down the road, I kind of like the idea of you, continuing while you can to max that out, even at the risk of hanging on to that mortgage a little longer. So that's maybe something to consider as you guys talk about it. We'll be right back.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider. And select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
President Trump's most important job is going to be the trickiest. It's the area where the president can make the biggest progress, but it's also where he can be misled into catastrophic errors. I'm referring to his nomination of literally hundreds of federal judges, including nominations to the U.S. Supreme Court. The good news is that you can help AFA Action's constitutional experts research nominees and give advice to the president. But to do this analysis, AFA Action needs your help. So please visit afaaction.net to donate today.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
A few of the benefits of a charitable gift annuity are a fixed percentage for the rest of your life paid to you a partial tax deduction as well as partial tax-free income. And then upon your passing, any remaining funds are then gifted to the American Family Association. So give us a call today at 1-800-326-4543, extension 345. We look forward to speaking with you soon.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Coming up in our final segment today, Riley Wildman will stop by. We'll talk about the American Family Association Foundation. So many of you wanting to support the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. You've been a faithful AFR listener, and you love the work that they're doing to express Christian values and equip God's people to live out a biblical worldview. And you want to do that both through your giving now as well as your giving down the road. And that involves stock gifts, that can involve the charitable gift annuity, that can involve qualified charitable distributions and the like. We'll talk about a few of those more popular giving vehicles with Riley a little later in the broadcast today. In the meantime, we're taking your calls and questions. That number to call, 800-525-7000. We're watching the markets today, the day following the announcement in the Rose Garden of the sweeping reciprocal tariffs from President Trump. The Dow Jones off 1,540 points, about 3.6%. The S&P 500 down nearly 4%. The NASDAQ still off about 4.75%. Clearly, the market pulling back just on the heels of all of those announcements. Let's head back to the phones. Al's waiting patiently here in Arkansas. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Rob, thank you so much for taking my call. A week or two ago, I caught part of your program, and you were talking about freezing your credit score to a couple, and I didn't catch the whole works. I got on the pages that you explained to look and saw how I can freeze it, but we have never, other than like 45 years ago when we bought our first house, we've never taken out a loan or had a credit score required for anything. So is there any downside to freezing them?
You know, there really isn't. I mean, the only downside, and it's really not one, in my opinion, is if you were out seeking new credit, you'd have the, perhaps I guess you could call it, hassle of thawing, if you will, your credit file temporarily and then refreezing it just so you'd be able to allow that lender or lenders that you're shopping to access your credit file, because that would be required. But given your situation, you're not out looking for more credit, you're not looking to take out a loan, I think it's absolutely in your best interest. It's just a really straightforward and free way for you to protect yourself from identity theft by simply restricting access to your credit file, because it prevents lenders and others from pulling your report without your permission. Which, here's the key, it's going to stop fraudsters from opening new accounts in your name, because the lender that they're trying to open the account with is not going to be able to access your credit report, which would always be a requirement. So basically, here's what you do. You just go to each credit bureau, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. You could do it online or over the phone. You can even do it by mail. You're going to get a PIN number for unfreezing your credit if you ever need to. You're also going to want to ask about the timing. Usually it takes place almost instantly. You will need to check and see if that's automatically going to unfreeze at some point. I can't remember, you know, each of them, whether it's permanent or, you know, after a period of time, you know, you'll have to redo it. But essentially, it's going to stop 90%+ of fraudulent accounts being opened per the FTC. That's the data they tell us. And it's just really simple and easy to do, and it provides a lot of protection.
Okay, that helps, because their site kind of set up red flags that kind of scared me from doing it. And I thought, well, no, I trust you more than I trust them. So thank you.
Well, Absolutely, Al. I appreciate it, my friend. Call anytime. God bless you. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Dan. How can we help?
Yes, sir. I'm wondering about, I'm trying to wrap my head around tariffs. So if a country is charging us 300%, is that 300% on the amount that, like, we're sending in cheese, say, and it's $100,000?
Yeah.
And they're charging us 300% tax on that $100,000?
Yeah. Yeah, and exactly. Then, so in a country, I'm sorry, finish your question.
So the people that are buying the product from us, how is it affecting them? Do they get our product at a cheaper price or whatnot? And why don't they just stop buying from us, or we just stop selling it to them?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're exactly right. So let's take your example. So if you had a country that had a 300% tariff, what that means is that for every dollar's worth of U.S. goods that are entering that country, the importer, the business in that country, pays an additional $3 in taxes to their government. So a $100 product from the U.S. all of a sudden costs $400 at the border, $100 base price plus the $300 tariff. So what does that mean for consumers in that country? Well, the importers usually pass some or all of that on to the buyers. So that $100 U.S. product might now retail for $350 or $400. And so, you know, that obviously impacts the consumers on the other end. It means then with U.S. goods so expensive, they might stop importing them altogether. And therefore, you know, they would not, you know, be buying U.S. goods. For the businesses, you know, the companies importing the U.S. goods, they take a hit because they often will have to absorb part of that tariff. And so it just, you know, creates a lot of supply chain pain, because if businesses are relying on U.S. imports, so let's say parts for cars or tech, you know, their costs skyrocket. Now, it's a boost in revenue to the country. It generates cash. But in the end, you know, it's going to slash U.S. imports. And I think that's what President Trump is getting at. And he cites often, so for instance, take, you know, Canada's dairy tariffs. You know, you've heard it that they have as much as 270% on U.S. milk over a certain quota. So Canadian consumers would pay more for U.S. dairy, sometimes double or triple what Americans pay, while their government protects their local farmers. And so the Canadian shoppers can either buy the pricier U.S. stuff or buy domestic and, you know, or go without if local supply lags. And so U.S. dairy farmers lose out. So I think that's the idea that President Trump is trying to address, in that he wants to have reciprocal tariffs or ultimately no tariffs, so we have free trade. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. That answers my question. Thank you
awesome.
So much.
You're very welcome. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
This is Jan Markell with Understanding the Times Radio. Won't you join me this weekend as I help you understand the times, contend for the faith, and become a watchman on the wall? I hope you'll join me each week as we do that together, right here on Understanding the Times Radio.
Saturday afternoon at 1 Central and Sunday afternoon at noon Central on American Family Radio.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor?
Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement across our nation and around the world who hold fast to the inerrancy of Scripture and the hope of holiness. We do this through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, certificate programs, and even training for lay people. So whatever your next step is in being equipped for ministry, we're here for you. And if you believe these are the kind of pastors we need leading churches in the future, we invite you to think about giving to Wesley Biblical Seminary. Learn more about us at wbs.edu.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Hey, let me take a moment just to mention our FaithFi partner program. So many of you are so encouraging as you send notes and emails about the program, how it's been a blessing to you. You've been encouraged by hearing some of the stories of life change as we share what God is doing as He's working in the lives of so many of our listeners as we encourage them to be faithful stewards. And you're wondering how you can be a bigger part of the ministry here at FaithFi. Well, one of those ways is by becoming a FaithFi partner. Those are men and women all over the country and even beyond that support this ministry every month with your financial support. FaithFi is a listener-supported ministry. FaithFi partners give $35 a month or more to support our work so we can reach more people with this message that we want to help them see God as their ultimate treasure. And as part of our way of saying thanks for being a FaithFi partner, we send you some things that allow you to grow in your walk as a steward. One of those is our quarterly magazine. Every quarter, you'll get a copy of Faithful Steward delivered to your inbox. It's beautiful, a 48-page magazine full of articles that are practical and theologically sound that take you deep into God's Word to encourage you in all aspects of your stewardship. You'll also receive our studies and devotionals pre-release every time they come out, typically two per year. And our newest study, Wisdom Over Wealth, 12 Lessons on Money from Ecclesiastes, is due out in May. You'll receive that as a FaithFi partner. So if you've been blessed by the ministry, we'd invite you to become a partner today. Just head to faithfi.com and click give at the top of the page. That's faithfi.com and click give. And if you become a partner now, you'll be ready to receive the next edition of Faithful Steward and our new study, Wisdom Over Wealth, as soon as they release in early May. All right, let's head back to the phones. We're going to Tennessee next. Shirley's been waiting patiently there. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. We survived the tornadoes around here.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Maybe several thoughts came to my mind. I've been following your advice on trying to get debt-free, and I'm paying down my bills.
That's great.
But here are some things that have come to me. Are we expecting, or you've probably been hearing it too, a full financial fall? If so, and money will be useless, for those of us who don't have much of any money, gold, getting it is pretty hard. I wanted to know, and I don't know if you're allowed to do this online, tell us where we can get it, because if we even should get it, or silver or something, because it's very expensive. Now, to get gold, I don't know how you would trade it. It seems to me like you would trade goods rather than gold. But also, looking at the gold situation, I called a company or two, and you put your into gold or part of it, but you don't get to touch it for 6 years. If the economy tomorrow, I wouldn't have nothing you know, if I could put a little bit of retirement into gold, I wouldn't have nothing I could get. So yeah. I'm just trying to figure out what would you think would be the best way to survive the financial fall for those of us. Yes, I still have student loan. I'm a student loan slave because okay. no matter how much I pay that I can afford to pay, it's not really going down because they've got me in the Mickey, so to speak. I can't. Anything that I pay is being eaten up by interest. So I've got to hold on with them and keep paying. But my other bills I'm paying down so that I can get to a point where I can hit those student loans and start paying them.
Good.
So what would you do with that?
Yeah, you've thrown a lot out there, Shirley, but I really appreciate all that background. A couple of thoughts. Number one, I'm delighted you've been listening. I'm delighted you've been focused on paying down debt. That's great. We want to get you out of debt. We want to get you living within your means. We want you to have an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months expenses so you don't ever have to go back in debt. If you're using credit cards, only use them for budgeted items. And once you get out of debt, let's stay there and not use them where you're beginning to carry a balance again month to month. That's really good. Let's make sure you're giving regularly. The amount is less of a concern to me. That's between you and the Lord. But I want you to be exercising that giving muscle, acknowledging God as your owner of everything, and He is your ultimate treasure. You're holding His money loosely, using it as a tool for His purposes. But that includes to provide and to save, which I think is very appropriate. We see that in Scripture. We see Joseph saving for the years of famine. And, you know, I'm not saying a famine's coming, but I'm just saying that principle of setting aside a portion of what God entrusts to us for the future is wise and affirmed in Scripture. Now, we not need to wrestle with the tension of how much is enough, but it doesn't sound like you're there yet. But at some point, you may need to ask that question as well. Now, I heard you say the financial fall, and I heard you say where, you know, our money is worthless. And that, to me, says that you're talking about perhaps a replacement of the dollar with a central bank digital currency. And let me say a couple of things about that. Number one, be careful on the fear-mongering that you see on the web. A central bank digital currency would absolutely be a concern, but President Trump has consistently expressed strong opposition to the creation of a CBDC. He's framed it, and I would agree, as a threat to individual freedom and an overreach for the government. And so I don't think we're going to go there. It'd have to have the backing of Congress. Congress is deeply divided over this issue for good reason. So I don't think you're going to see your dollar replaced anytime soon, hopefully never. Now, he has been favorable on cryptos as an alternate form of currency. I don't think there's a problem there. What we don't want is a central bank digital currency, but that's not going to happen anytime soon. And the U.S. is still the largest and biggest economy in the world. Now, we're going through this transition right now where the president is trying to level the playing field with regard to tariffs and free trade, and he's trying to cut the deficit, the annual federal deficit, because we're spending $2 trillion more dollars than we have coming in, which is a problem. He's trying to lower the national debt. He's trying to make this shift from the public market to the privates and reinvigorate, manufacturing and the U.S. workforce and our economy. It's going to take time. We're experiencing some short-term pain in the markets, but I think long-term, there is no replacement for the U.S. dollar, and there's no close rival to the U.S. economy. China's got bigger problems than we do in terms of their demographic. So I would say all that means is focus first on your own mini economy, what passes through your hands. Spend less than you earn. Avoid debt. Set long-term goals. Have some margin and give generously. Recognize God as the owner of everything. Invest in stocks and bonds and real estate. Be properly diversified. Live below your means so you can put something away. The very best place to build wealth is in a properly diversified portfolio. And despite every problem we've had, every correction, every crash, every bear market, the market has always recovered and gone to new highs. And I think ultimately a lot of the things that the president is doing right now is going to make our economy stronger in the future, certainly help us get our fiscal house in order, which is very important. So I wouldn't be deviating from anything. I wouldn't make any rash decisions. I wouldn't worry about a free fall or a crash of the dollar. I wouldn't worry about any of that. Now, is it okay for you to have some gold? Sure. I wouldn't do more than 5 to 10%. And, you know, you could buy some gold bars or coins for that first 5. The other way to buy gold, Shirley, is through an ETF, an exchange-traded fund like GLD, or there's a dozen of them. And basically, you're buying what trades like a stock, but it is directly tied to the price of gold, the cost per ounce of gold. That's how it moves. You can buy that as long as the stock market's open. You can buy it and sell it 5 days a week. So hopefully that helps you, and I appreciate your call today. A quick break and back with more after this.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like,
it
is a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, helping you integrate faith and finance for the glory of God. I'm Rob West. We're going to head back to the phones here before we round out the broadcast today. But first, Riley Wildman's in the studio. Riley joins us regularly. She's the director of the AFA Foundation, and she and her team walk alongside so many generous givers who want to support the work of AFA, and they want to do that not only with cash gifts, but with complex gifts, thinking about the giving tools and vehicles that are available to support this work both now and in the future. Riley, good morning.
Good morning, Rob. Thank you again for having me on this morning.
Absolutely. Riley, what are some of the more common giving tools that AFA donors are taking advantage of right now?
So right now, Rob, our main tool that we have, as you know, is our charitable gift annuity, called a CGA, charitable gift annuity. That is our main one, Rob, that we have here in the foundation, where it is just a minimal amount of $2,000 or anything above that that the donor can gift to the ministry. And you can set that up, what I call a single life or a joint life, Rob. And then once the donor passes away, anything left over is a gift back to the ministry. And then, of course, they do receive a tax deduction the year that they set up the charitable gift annuity. So a charitable gift annuity is a main tool that we have here in the foundation.
Yeah, and for good reason, Riley, because it accomplishes so many competing priorities for people in this season of life. You know, if you're headed toward or you're in retirement, you want income. You want to support the things that matter the most to you, where God is at work, and you want to pay as little taxes as possible. And Riley, what you're saying is this really accomplishes all three, doesn't it?
It does. It sure does. And there's other ones out there too, Rob, that we've mentioned before, is just a stock donation, just an outright gift of stock to the ministry. They can use that. A lot of people don't realize, Rob, that they can use that as an outright gift to the ministry, or they can use that stock donation to fund a charitable gift annuity. So that's another great tool. And over the past, in 2024, we've had a lot of people just contact the foundation and just do a straight outright gift of stock to the ministry.
Yeah, that's great. You can learn more at afafoundation.net. Riley, some of our listeners may be surprised to hear you say the minimums on the charitable gift annuity are as low as they are, because we hear charitable gift annuity and we might think, oh, that's just for people who can make the $100,000 and $300,000 and $500,000 gift. And although you do get some of those, the average gift is much lower, isn't it?
It is. It is much lower. I mean, we average probably, even though the minimum amount is $2,000, we have several people that do the minimum of $2,000, but on average, it could even be as $10,000 or $20,000. So we're thankful for any amount that that somebody wants to call and give to the ministry. But yes, the minimum amount is $2,000. But like you said, Rob, we have people, it ranges all the way from $2,000 to, like you said, $100,000. So whatever is best for that particular person's situation and what they can give to the ministry, anything helps.
Very good. Now, if somebody's listening and saying, yeah, that sounds good, I need income and I could use that tax deduction, and I absolutely want to support AFA at death, so that all sounds great. What would be their next steps, and how does your team help them understand the best option for them?
Yes, Rob. So what they can do is they can just give us a call, Jessica or I or Chelsea here in the foundation. The number here to the foundation is 800-326-4543. Again, 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or Rob, they can visit our website at afafoundation.net. Again, that's afafoundation.net. And they can run illustrations on our website as well and kind of get an idea. If they don't want to give us a call, they can just go on our website and run an illustration. They just need to put in their date of birth, their age there, the amount that they're wanting to gift, and it'll run the illustration for them and kind of see what they would like to receive monthly, quarterly, semi-annually, and see what their tax deduction is.
Excellent. AFAFoundation.net. Now, Riley, we get a lot of listeners who call us and say, I'm about to go meet with my attorney. I'm going to update my estate plan, or, you know, I've never really taken the time to put an estate plan in place. And if they want to add the AFA or just American Family Association as a bequest, they can do that pretty easily, can't they?
They can. They can give us a call here at the foundation. They can give me a call, and I can give them the details that they would need to provide for them or to their attorney the information that they would need to leave AFA and AFR in their will. It's a very simple process. There's just two or three things that they would need on our end that they would need to provide that to their attorney, and then they could leave American Family Association in their will.
Excellent. Well, Riley, we always appreciate your updates and when you stop by. And I know you and your team, Jessica and Chelsea and everybody there at the AFA Foundation, work so hard just to come alongside listeners and donors to help them understand the opportunities that exist, answer all of their questions. You guys are so careful to take all the time that's needed for somebody to get comfortable. And I just really appreciate the work you do.
Well, thank you so much, Rob. And thank you again for having me on this morning.
All right. That's Riley Wildman. She's director of the AFA Foundation. You can learn more at afafoundation.net. That's afafoundation.net. All right, let's head back to the phones. We'll try to get to two more calls before we round out the broadcast today. To Louisiana. Hi, Tanya. Go right ahead.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
You pretty much answered my question with the lady that called about the gold. But one question that I have a 401k, and I want to go deeper into stocks. I do know that the stock market is dropping, but I remember when the stock market dropped a whole lot more than it is now.
Right.
And furthermore, I'm very confident about our economy, more so confident in God, and I believe that He will give us the victory. So, and then not only that, but if we sink or swim, we all do it together as the world economy. So I would like to go into stocks about maybe 30%, a 30-70 split right now. But I'm wondering if I'm getting in too soon, or should I allow a little bit more time for them to go lower?
Yeah. You know, it's a great question, Tanya. And first of all, I really appreciate you acknowledging that, you know, God is ultimately our provider. And, you know, I think ultimately long term, there's a lot of good reason to continue to be an investor in the U.S. and in this economy. And I think a lot of the things that are happening now, even though we may have some short term pain, will result in a stronger economy over the long haul. You know, I wish I was smart enough to say whether this is the moment to go in. As soon as I tell you that, it's going to be down more tomorrow or next month or next quarter. And as soon as you wait, it might go straight up from here. And the reality is nobody knows. And that's why I would encourage you, Tanya, to be systematic in your investments. And so this idea of dollar cost averaging is a really powerful tool. And it basically says, okay, whatever the amount is you can put in over a 12-month basis, let's take 1/12 of that and then just go into the market, you know, every month. And you're going to buy when the market's down. You're going to buy more shares with the same amount of money. When the market's up, you're going to buy less shares. But the idea is that none of us are smart enough to pick the bottom or the top or the right entry point. But what we can say is that we know the long-term trajectory is going to be up. It always has been, despite the financial crisis, despite the dot-com bubble burst, despite the housing crisis, despite the oil embargoes. I mean, you name it. We've had it, the Great Depression. The market has always recovered and gone to new highs. And so I think you being a systematic investor, not trying to pick the, you know, the jump in here and jump out there, because none of us know when that point is. But I think you being consistent over time, even right now, to make a contribution for this month, even though we know it might go lower, I think is still wise, as long as we have the long-term perspective in mind. And by long-term, I mean decades, not quarters or years. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. It makes total sense. And I just had to figure out what my strategy was going to be. So thank you so much. That helps a lot.
All right,
and,
Tanya.
Thank you all for all you do. And again, I'd just like to say we walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
And I do know that God is on our side. Thank
yes,
you so
he
much.
Is. Absolutely. Lord bless you. Thanks for being on the program today. Hey, stay on the line, Tanya. I want to send you a gift. We're going to send you a copy of our most recent magazine, Faithful Steward, Issue 1, that I think will be a real encouragement to you as you just immerse yourself in God's Word around your role as a steward. Let's go to Texas. Donna, how can we help you?
Hi. I was calling. I currently have two certificates of deposit.
Okay.
And I was wanting to know, excuse me, if I should dissolve them and open up an IRA in instead of the certificates of deposit.
Yeah. And do you have, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Donna. I'm short on time, but I want to get to the end of your question. Do you have what's called earned income? Not passive, but earned income? Are you working?
No, I'm retired.
Okay. Yeah. So unfortunately, you have to have earned income in order to make new contributions to an IRA. Is that what you were thinking?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, sir.
So you would not be able to do that, is make new contributions to an IRA. You could roll a 401k into an IRA, but you would not be able to open an IRA and make a new contribution without earned income. So like wages or tips or, you know, business income from a small business that you own, something like that, not Social Security or passive investment income. So unfortunately, that's not an option, but you could, you know, begin making systematic contributions to just a taxable account with a high quality mutual fund, like, you know, one of the faith-based investing funds. So perhaps our friends at soundmindinvesting.org could be helpful to you if you're comfortable on the web. If not, our team can get you the information and the phone number. But hopefully that helps you, Donna. Unfortunately, I don't think the IRA is going to be an option. May the Lord bless you. Thanks for calling today. Hey, big thanks to my team today, Devin, Sandy, Taylor, Jim, everybody here at FaithFi. Couldn't do it without them. Enjoy the rest of your day. Check out our website at faithfi.com and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.